Well, good evening. We just wanted to hear a little bit more Pat playing there anyway, so thank you, Pat. All right, well, I want to say welcome to those who are there on our phone live streaming service. Thank you for being there. Thank all of those who are on all of our other social media platforms. I want to say welcome to you. Be sure to heart, like, share, subscribe, follow us, do all those things that you need to do on those social media platforms there. If you have access to our church website, go to highlandbaptistchurch.com. It's under the info tab. You can download the worship bulletin for this week as well as the children's worship bulletins. Be sure to get those downloaded. Share those with others. Use it as an outreach resource, if you will. And then also under that info tab is where you'll find your prayer list for tonight. So be sure to get that downloaded. We've got a few updates that we're going to give you tonight. Maybe you have some updates. If you have some updates at home, we want to encourage you to do that on Facebook. That's where we're looking at the live there to see your prayer requests. So be sure to do that there on Facebook. While you're on the church website, I want to encourage you to go to that far right-hand side and click the Give Online tab there. Do your offering there. So I encourage you to take the time to do that. We are in the midst of our week of prayer for the Golden Offering for Tennessee Missions. And so we want to emphasize that as much as possible throughout this month as we seek to reach our goal there. We have some handouts that give some information about that. Those were in our bulletin Sunday. You'll find some of those still around on the table. So be sure to grab those. You can use those this week. You can use them all throughout the month. On the inside, it's got a daily plan there, Sunday through Sunday, to be praying for the missions work there. We want to share with you tonight a short video about the an overview of the ministries that our Tennessee Baptist Convention does through the Golden Offering for Tennessee Missions, where all those resources go to. So prayerfully watch this video.
Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. As we scan our state, love for others brings into clear vision the often overwhelming physical and spiritual needs of millions of Tennesseans. So many drowning in anxiety, despair, depression. Hope feels elusive, but it isn't. The Psalms say that God heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. Tennessee Baptists see our state and offer hope to the brokenhearted through a variety of ministries. In times of catastrophic loss, Tennessee Baptist Disaster Relief helps people recover their lives. In times of hunger, Tennessee Baptists provide nourishment for the body as well as the soul. Tennessee Baptist provides support for young, unwed mothers needing help navigating challenging circumstances. But Tennessee Baptists also see opportunities to love countless thousands moving to our state. Evangelism and church planting are priorities, especially in West Tennessee, where the population is rapidly growing because of Ford's Blue Oval City manufacturing plant. And local Tennessee Baptist churches, cooperating with Baptist Collegiate Ministries, are working together to develop the next generation of ministers and church leaders. Tennessee Baptists recognize that any way you slice it, Tennessee is a mission field. There are so many opportunities to serve God and to serve others. That's why support of the Golden Offering for Tennessee Missions is so important. The Golden Offering is to Tennessee what the Lottie Moon Christmas Offering is to the International Mission Board. It helps Tennessee Baptists serve here in our state through strategic ministries and creates new ministry opportunities as God opens doors among family, friends, and neighbors. Would you and your church consider joining other Tennessee Baptists in contributing to the Golden Offering? Together, we can show the love of Christ to those who haven't experienced it by making His love known in word and deed.
Sorry for a loop there, Ben. I meant to share that a little bit later next to our prayer time there. Couldn't get my guide open quick enough there. But he works on the fly there, so thank you, Ben. So do be in prayer for that. We will remind you to pray for that when we come to our prayer time also. And then one other announcement that I need to make sure that I mention is about our church directory. You can go ahead and begin registering to do your photography session on those first three weekends of October, October 5th and 6th, 12th and 13th, 19th and 20th. If you're at home, this is on our Facebook page group, so be sure on the group there for members and attenders, so be sure to click the link that's there in the description, or you can scan the QR code that'll be on your screen. You can scan the QR code that's on our screens here. This paper is all around in different places out in the hallways, out in the foyer out there too. There's a couple of them, so be sure you'll see this code in your bulletin this coming Sunday. So be sure to scan that. It takes you to a real simple platform there to just put your first name, last name, telephone number, and email. That's it. And you choose your time slot, whatever day time slot that you want. If you can't do all that, you don't want to scan a QR code, you don't want to click a website link, call the church office, 455-0645. We'll get you scheduled on the dates that are available and the dates that work for you. Let me just remind you, as we shared Sunday night, we'll share this again this coming Sunday morning, that the photography sessions will just be family units. So one of the examples I used to someone is the Connors, and I don't think he'll mind me mentioning this, but if Linda and Steve are going to get a picture as their family unit with Bradley and Julie and the rest of them, that's a separate family unit. We're just doing these for our directory, but you'll be able to set up later at a later time with our photographer to do those kinds of pictures if you want to do those things. We're just trying to get some pictures to get our directory together as quickly as possible and as efficiently as possible. So please go ahead and pre-register for that if you would be willing to help us to put this all together, because we're doing this all in-house. One of the reasons we're doing this in-house, and I'll share this again Sunday also, is when we use those companies, whether we've used ColorCraft before, Olin Mills before, those pictures are not literally ours, yours. Those are copyrighted pictures. They're owned by the photography company. These, you'll get copies of these pictures. These will be yours to do with however you want to do. They will be on a website that you can go on and click if you want prints of them, if you want them on canvas or however you want them. If you want to put them on a t-shirt, I guess you could do that. Whatever you want to do with them. They're yours. So they'll be yours. You'll get those on a jump drive, or you can go on this little website that will give you that you can be able to order what you want to order there. So we need some people to help us with that, helping to publicize the event, helping to contact families, helping to set up the appointment signups, greeting our families during that photography session to help our photographers out, helping design the new directory. And we've also mentioned maybe some students who need some community service hours doing some of those things. We have a form that's down here at the front. They're on the tables at both ends. Be sure to pick up one of those and fill that out. You can put it in the box on outside of Miss Amy's office. You can put it in an offering plate. You can turn it into me, however you want to do that, just so that we can get your information, so we can get some help in helping us to put all of those things together to have an efficient church directory. So Brother Mike, if you'll come and lead us.
Miss Pat, I want to thank you for that song that you played at the very beginning. For those of you that play by looking at sheet music and stuff, she's looking at the book, but she's playing three times as many notes as what's on that book. So that's a little bit of what Southern Gospel is. So we were at the Opryland. We had Opryland season passage years and years ago when that was still active, and we went over to a man after a session. He'd been playing for an hour, and he didn't have a sheet music or anything in front of him. And we asked him, said, "Do you read music?" And he said, "No, sir." He said, "Yes, sir, but not enough to affect my playing." That's like you. Miss Pat, you're blessed. But anyway, take your hymnals and stand with us and let's sing 447. Hopefully this will go with the sermon tonight. We'll see. Miss Pat.
When we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds on our way. Let us do His good will. He abides with us still and will. but to trust and obey. Not a burden we bear, not a sorrow we share, but our toil he doth richly repay. Not a grief or a loss, not a frown or a cross, but his blessed death we trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. But we never can prove the delights of his love until all on the altar we lay. For the favor he shows and the joy he bestows are for them who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Then in fellowship sweet, we will sit at his feet, or we'll walk by his side in the way. What he says we will do, where he sends we will go. Never fear, only trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey.
Forgot I had one up here, Donna. Okay, hopefully at home you've had an opportunity to get your prayer list downloaded. There are several that we've removed from the list, some updates that we've given to the list, and so let's just go over our Highland Baptist Church family, and then we'll just hit a few on our friends and family side and look at our nursing home list also. So on our Highland Baptist Church family, we have Carolyn and S.W. Stone. We have Arthur Hargrove, Betsy Farrell, and stop me if you have any updates on any of these. Mark Raymond, Sandra Wells, Miss Jewel Farrell, she is doing better. Mr. Bill Warren, Rick German, David Hess. Have you heard any update on David?
Have not, other than the podcast.
Other than the podcast. Okay, so they have him and his wife have started a podcast on YouTube. It's called something with the Hesses.
The 41 something, yeah.
Yeah, it's 41 something, but if you look up the with the Hesses, 41 Life with the Hesses,
Life, yeah.
You'll find that on YouTube. Every Tuesday, they're releasing a new podcast, a video podcast there, sharing updates about where they are in their journey through all of this. So you may want to catch that and listen to what's going on with them. They just put one out yesterday. Remember Linda Jones, we moved her out of the hospital. She's no longer in the hospital, just still continues to have medical issues. Brian Tate has surgery coming up next week, so keep him in your prayers on the 16th. Brother George Duncan, he is back home now, so we praise the Lord for that. He still has his ongoing medical issues, so do keep him in your prayers. Christy Gaddis has surgery on Friday, so keep her in your prayers. And then Lee and Sue Stevenson, he has some medical issues, and then we put her on there too for the caregiver there, so just keep both of them in your prayers. And then Brenda Griffin has surgery tomorrow. So keep her in your prayers. And then we've also announced it on our Facebook members and attenders group there about some need for meals. I think we have all of those covered now. There's four meals that we're covering there. So thank you for those who offered to help with those meals. for them, so we appreciate that. And those are the kind of things that we want to be able to announce in that members attenders group that we wouldn't necessarily maybe want to put out on the full social media out there everywhere for the World Wide Web. Any other updates there? And I'll look here at Facebook also to make sure there's no other updates there. I don't see any. Anybody want to give an update on anybody on that side? All right, then I don't see any friends and family side. We'll just start here with Jay Barbier again. Jay Barbier still having his cancer treatments. Tim Forsyth is still with his cancer treatments, but they were doing an exploratory surgery today to see where things are at with his cancer. So keep him in your prayers. He's the minister over at, one of the ministers over at Trinity Baptist in Manchester. So keep him in your prayers. Remember the Ray family. This is related to Matt Kohler. Remember Bethany Stringfield Brooks. She has her upcoming surgery in October. So be praying for her as she gets ready for that. Pray for Philip Shell as he continues with his issues. With cancer, right? No, with what's his?
He thinks it's long COVID.
Okay, he thinks it's long COVID. That's the one that they've not really put a finger on that. So just keep Philip in your prayers. David and Joni Peck, keep them in your prayers. Teresa Kohler, that's Matt's mom, who has the torn meniscus. So keep her in your prayers. Brad Tatum is still recovering from his foot surgery, has a few more weeks to be in his cast brace thing that he has on his foot. They put a plate in there. There were more broken bones in his foot than they originally thought, so keep him in your prayers. We've also put on there to remember Jessica Bell. We mentioned her last week. She had surgery last Friday, so keep her in your prayers. Seems to be doing really well with that, and so we praise the Lord for that. And then also, you'll notice right above that, we put the family and friends of Brody Minor. Brody is a youth who lives in our community here, who was killed last weekend, tragically. They are doing a candlelight vigil tonight at the high school at 8 o'clock. And then Saturday will be a memorial service for him or a visitation for him at Kilgore. So be in prayer for that family. His sister came here and went with our youth on the youth trips and stuff. And so just pray for that whole family that the Lord will make himself known to them during this tragic loss in their lives. Any of these others we need to mention or any updates? Yes. Okay, and his name, is it J-O-D?
J-O-D-Y.
Y, okay. So this is a request for Jody Sullinger, and this is Jacqueline's, which is Kim Dodson's daughter's father, right? I think I have that connection right now. Has a mass in his stomach, and so keep him in your prayers as they're trying to figure out what that is. It may be cancer, so keep him in your prayers with that. Anybody else? I don't see any there on Facebook. Okay, so on our nursing home list, we have Mary Campbell, who's at NHC, Peggy Eggleston at Life Care Center. She's not doing well, so keep her in your prayers. And okay, so they have contacted hospice. She's decided no longer to do dialysis, so keep her in your prayers and her family. That's Brother Bethel's sister. Remember Miss Bertie Davis at Brookdale? Miss Janet Carter at MacArthur Manor. She is going home if she's not already gone. I know that was her indications. So what she was. Yeah. So if that's not the case, Miss Janet, because I know you're probably listening tonight, you are always on our phone live streaming, let us know that.
I talked to her 2 weeks ago, and she said, I'm trying to go home.
Yeah. So, but we are glad she is listening. She faithfully listens every service. So remember Miss Janet Carter in your prayers. Remember Miss Sue Prince, who's at Morning Point, Miss Beverly Daniels, and Miss Susie Barton also at Morning Point. And then also remember Hoyt Farrell, who's at Legacy Nursing Home. Any others? Okay, so remember Kimmy in your prayers in the loss of her husband. Is she Williams still? Most people would know her as.
Oh, what is her last name?
But most people would know her as formerly Williams.
Kimmy Williams.
Yeah, so keep her in your prayers.
Barfield.
That's Pat's granddaughter, for those of you at home listening. Anyone else? All right, let's go ahead then and go to the Lord in prayer for all these. Some have upcoming surgeries, some going through surgeries today, some coming out of surgeries and recovering and headed home. So let's go to the Lord in prayer for all these. Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you tonight. Thank you, Lord, for just being here with us. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for caring for us, for providing for us, for ministering to us and uplifting us, for encouraging us in our hearts. Father, I pray that no matter what we may be going through personally ourselves, Father, I pray that you will make your presence, your power, your glory, your majesty known to us. Father, to know that you are about your business, working out things to bring glory to your name, to bring good into our lives, some way and somehow. Lord, we know that we are unworthy. Lord, we know we have sinned, and so we come confessing any sin in our hearts. We don't want anything to hinder our prayers with you. We want to pray effectual, fervent prayers. And so, Father, we pray tonight that your Spirit would cleanse us by the precious blood of Jesus Christ, bring out any sin in our hearts into the light of the truth of your word, whether that's something we physically did, maybe it's something we thought in our minds, that maybe never took an action upon, even that is sin, you've told us. And so, Father, I pray that you would forgive us and cleanse us, cast our sins as far as the east is from the west, into the depths of the sea, never to be remembered anymore. Father, I praise you and thank you so much, because we don't deserve that. Lord, we deserve your judgment, but we thank you so much for your grace and your mercy. Father, we come before you tonight to intercede, especially on behalf of these that are on our prayer list that we mentioned, others that we maybe didn't mention tonight, but you know their names. Maybe there's some unspoken needs even that we have. Father, we just pray for you to divinely intervene in each one of these individuals' lives. Father, we pray for you to touch them. Lord, for those who are having surgeries or had surgeries today, we pray for their healing from those things. For those who have upcoming surgeries, we pray for wisdom and discernment for the surgeons and guide their hands as they do the surgery. Father, we pray for the health of each one of these individuals, that they would be restored. Lord, that there would be no other way to explain the things that have happened, but that it was by your power and by your glory and your majesty. Father, we want to give the testimony to you. And so we thank you, Lord, for those that we've been able to remove from the list, or at least to give a better update on that they've improved some. And so, Father, we thank you for that. But Lord, we know there are many who are still going through those difficulties in their life. And so we just pray for you to embrace them. Embrace them, Lord, in your love. Lord, show them that you are with them. Make yourself known to them. Help them to understand, Lord, that there are people here who care about them and who are praying for them. We pray, God, that you will walk with them through these valleys that they're going through until, Lord, such time in the perfect time, Lord, that you choose to bring them through that valley in whatever way that you would. Father, we give you the glory and the honor. Thank you for the healings that we've heard about even tonight. Lord, we pray for those who are still hurting in their hearts, and we just pray, Lord, for comfort, for peace for their lives. Lord, we pray that you would be with our youth who are meeting tonight. Lord, we pray that you would just continue to stir their hearts to a more faithful walk with you. We pray for our children who are here for Awana. Lord, what a great group we had tonight, almost 40. Father, I pray that you will just help them to hide your word in their hearts, that they would not sin against you, Lord, to learn more about you, to follow you more faithfully, continue to grow our Awana program throughout this year, because it's not just about those kids, Lord. It's about their families, too, and it's about bringing glory to you as we instill the biblical truths into these kids at this perfect age as they're growing and maturing, Lord, that they would grow and mature in their faith and in their walk with you. Father, we pray for all the things that have been going on around our nation. We pray for those that are being affected by the hurricane that is coming in to Louisiana, Texas, Mississippi, and eventually up this way. Father, we just pray that you'll protect people, keep people safe. Lord, bring the rains that we desperately need to crops as well as to our homes, Lord, to the water table itself. Father, we just pray for your blessings upon us in that way. And Lord, we just also come to you in prayer and thank you for the nation in which we live in. Lord, I pray we would never forget what happened on this day back in 2001. Father, that we would remember it forever. And Lord, that it would not be something that we pass over flippantly. Lord, that we would remember those whose lives were taken so tragically. Father, that we would continue to pray for those thousands of families and their family members, Lord, as they continue to deal with the aftermath of that. Father, we pray for your protection over our nation. We pray for your blessing upon our nation. And Lord, we just want to give you the glory and the honor for all you are doing in our nation. Lord, we pray that you will have your way and your will in our hearts tonight as we come to study your word in the book of Isaiah once again. So bless your word tonight. It's just a few verses here in this chapter, in Isaiah chapter 18, Father, but I pray that it would be seven powerful, life-changing verses for us tonight as we look at this oracle to Cush. Father, I pray for your blessings upon our lives. Lord, be with our offering that we're taking to for our golden offering for Tennessee missions. Be with all those mission efforts that we saw in our overview tonight and as we'll continue to highlight throughout the weeks ahead. Father, we pray that you'll impress upon our hearts what we might give towards that offering to help reach our goal. And Father, we just praise you and thank you for the great and mighty works we're able to be involved in, whether that's locally here through our church, through our association, whether it's locally here in our state, through our state convention, or across our nation, even around the world, through the Southern Baptist Convention, the International Mission Board, and the North American Mission Board. So bless us tonight. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Take your Bibles, if you will, and turn to Isaiah chapter 18. Isaiah chapter 18. In Isaiah 18, we began this section last week. So what I want to do tonight is basically just go back. It's only seven verses that we have in this chapter tonight, so I don't think it'll press us on time here at all. But there is a lot in these verses, so I don't want to come into it where we left off last week. Sometimes we've slept since last week and we've forgotten what we were talking about in a particular chapter. So we're just going to go back to the beginning here of chapter 18. Let me just remind you, this is an oracle concerning Cush. If you've been with us for some time in looking at Isaiah, we are in a section now in Isaiah where we're hearing oracles. Oracle means burden. It's a heavy message that's being delivered, not just to the nation of Judah or Israel, to specific other nations around them that have had dealings with them and that God's judgment is coming upon. So when Isaiah is giving an oracle, always keep that in mind, that it's a burden, it's a message that's a burden upon him. He doesn't want to have to give it because he knows what it means and the effects that it's going to have on the people. So in chapter 18, we're going to see God's judgment of Cush. And you may be thinking, where is Cush? I've never seen Cush on a map. Cush is another name, a biblical name, for the nation of Ethiopia. Ethiopia. Isaiah prophesied judgment against the ancient nation of Ethiopia. It was located south of Egypt. Now, we've already looked some, but we're going to see more when we get to chapter 19. We're going to see the oracle concerning Egypt. But tonight is on Cush, south of Egypt. So he's going to work his way out from the outskirts back towards Judah and Israel. So in Ethiopia, in scripture, Ethiopia is called Cush. Somewhere around 714 BC, King So, or Shabako, conquered and established the 25th dynasty. 2 Kings chapter 17 and verse 4 says this: But the king of Assyria found treachery in Hosea. So you'll remember, Assyria is a big, huge, massive kingdom up above Israel, and they have come against Israel. And here we see that the king of Assyria has found treachery in Hosea. So he sent, because Hosea had sent messengers to So, king of Egypt. So the king of Israel had sent messengers to Egypt and said, "Hey guys, we need some help. Would you become our allies to go against Assyria, who's coming against us? We need some help." That's what many nations were doing. Sometimes nations were making alliances to go against Judah and Israel. In this case, here's Israel, who's making an alliance with Egypt to go against Assyria. Because what they know is that Assyria is just going to keep plowing through, and eventually they're going to Egypt to conquer Egypt. So Hosea had sent messengers to So, the king of Egypt, and offered no tribute to the king of Assyria. So the king of Assyria feels slighted about that. He feels, what did you leave me out of this for? You're going down there to pay them, in a sense, to become allies with you. You should have paid me tribute, and we would have been fine. He had done that year after year after year already. And so now he's putting the nation in a worse predicament here, going to an enemy of Assyria to get them to become an ally with them. So the king of Assyria shut Hosea up, and bound him in prison. That's in 2 Kings 17, verse 4. That's just a little bit of its history. Ethiopia maintained its control over Egypt until about 633 BC, when the Egyptian Psamathicus recaptured the throne and put an end to the Ethiopian domination. So Ethiopia controlled Egypt at one point there in 633 BC. This Egyptian leader, Psamathicus, recaptured the throne, put an end to the Ethiopian domination. In this oracle that we're reading of Cush, or this burden, we're going to see hope for salvation in the face of judgment. One of the things you're going to read here in these verses is it's going to say, "Woe to the land with shadowing with wings, which is beyond the rivers of Ethiopia." So in addressing Isaiah, or in addressing Ethiopia, Isaiah refers to Cush as a land with whirling and buzzing wings. Let's look at that to begin with. Chapter 18, verse 1. "Ah, land of whirring wings that is beyond the rivers of Cush," or Ethiopia. So he's referring to this land of whirling, this land of buzzing wings. What is that referring to? What does that mean? What is that talking about? Well, it could refer to the large insects, the large number of insects that would infest the land and cause devastation to crops there, which they would have that many times. They still even do to this day in many places there. So it could be referring to that, to the infestation of those insects. It could also refer to the buzzing of the frantic diplomatic activity of the government that's running to and fro, trying to make alliances here and there, seeking to form alliances with other nations. Or it could refer to both things at the same time. I think it's probably referring to both things at the same time. Assyria's quest for world domination would eventually extend into Africa, reaching all the way down to Ethiopia, south of Egypt, meaning they would have to conquer Egypt first and then conquer Ethiopia. And so what he's saying here is that they are also, Cush, Ethiopia, is going to feel the wrath of God's judgment just as much as the other wicked nations of the world. So while we looked at Isaiah chapter 13 through 17, and those chapters are proclaiming strong oracles of judgment against Babylon and against Assyria and Moab and Aram and Ethiopia and Ephraim, which is just another name for Israel, Isaiah 18 glows with a marvelous prophecy about the salvation of the people of Cush, modern-day Ethiopia. And so one of the surprising elements of this chapter is the delight that God has in the people of Cush. Notice verse 2. Verse 2 says, talking about this land of whirling wings, which is beyond the rivers of Cush or Ethiopia, which sends ambassadors by the sea in vessels of papyrus on the waters, go you swift messengers to a nation tall and smooth, to a people feared near and far, a nation mighty and conquering, whose land the rivers divide. And so when you look at that verse, you know, we see here who he's talking about. He's talking about the Ethiopians here, who are a tall and smooth people. They go from place to place many times on vessels of papyrus on waters. They're lightweight ships. They can move very quickly from one place to another. You know, we live today in an astonishing ethnically diverse world. The human race is a mosaic of various genetic differences: height, skin, color, hair type, eye color, shape, nose, shape of noses, all kinds of things. On top of those physical outward evident differences, there's remarkably very different cultural differences, like your languages and dress and social mores and rituals and all those kinds of things. But from a biblical point of view, all those differences are all the more amazing when you consider that God made every nation on the earth from one man. You look at Acts chapter 17 and verse 26, and the Bible says in Acts 17, 26, and he made from one man every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth, having determined allotted periods and boundaries of their dwelling place. The difference between the ethnicities have come about by the wonderful variety that God has built into the genetic code of the first man, Adam, in a variety which God delights. But pride between the ethnicities comes from sin. Ethnicity is from God, but when you throw pride in the mix, racism comes into play, and racism is from man. Racism can be defined as the belief that one ethnicity is inherently superior to another. Closely related and linked to racism are all sorts of prejudice and oppression and injustices that one group of people has imposed on another because of those ethnic differences. In the Bible times, you see that happening all the time. Isaiah chapter 18, though, stands above that wickedness and shows the delight that God has in people from all kinds of ethnic backgrounds. Even more amazing is the sovereign grace of God in electing a vast multitude from every nation, every tribe, every people, every language, which no man can number, Revelation chapter 7 and verse 9, that will one day stand before the throne of Jesus dressed in white. It's not going to be just white people in heaven. It's not going to be just black people or Hispanic people. It's not going to be just Middle Eastern people. It's going to be people from all cultures and all different races that are in all different nations, every tribe, every tongue, that is going to be before the throne of God if they have trusted by faith in Jesus as their Lord and their Savior. What a picture this is giving us here in the beginning of what is a foretaste of one day in heaven. So notice the situation that we see in verse 2. Isaiah began his prophecy here by describing the situation in Ethiopia. Ethiopia at this time was a powerful nation. When you think of Ethiopia today, what do you think of? I think of famine. I think of pestilence. I think of those kinds of things, because many times you'll see those commercials that they'll show to support people who are being affected by famine and those kinds of things in Africa, and many times it's children in Ethiopia. Ethiopia is a suffering nation today. But Ethiopia at one time was a very powerful nation, but it was hostile in that it sought to conquer other countries and other lands. So notice his description. He describes Ethiopians as a tall, smooth-skinned people. They're feared everywhere. They're feared everywhere because of the aggressiveness of their nation. So his reference to the fact that they spoke foreign languages indicates that their conquest had extended far and wide. They sent ambassadors by the sea and vessels of papyrus on the waters, verse 2 says. He says, "Go you swift messengers to a nation, tall and smooth, to a people feared near and far, a nation mighty and conquering, whose land the rivers divide." And he gives that description there. So who were these people who dwelt in the land of Cush, in the land of Ethiopian? Well, if you remember your geography there in Egypt going down to Ethiopia, is the Nile River. It's one of the few rivers in the world that flows from the south to the north. St. John's River in Florida does that also. There's another in another part of the world that does that too, but there are very few of those rivers that do that. The Nile River itself was formed as water began to cut through the sandstone and the limestone, making waterfalls or cascades that interfered with the navigation and served as natural boundaries for the Nile Valley peoples. The region of the fourth waterfall, the fourth section of waterfalls on the Nile River there, was settled by the Cushites. Now, the Cushites are descendants of Cush. Remember who Cush is? We talked about that last time. He's the oldest son of Ham. Ham is one of the sons of Noah. And so he's the oldest son of Ham after the flood of Noah in Genesis chapter 10 and verse 7. So the Nile River ran through their nation, which meant that their land was a fertile land. You've got the Nile River there, which would overflow its banks. They would create tributaries to form their crops, to get water to their crops, and it would bring very fertile, productive fruit and crops for them, and provided a strong economy for them. If you've got a river that's flowing well, you can be able to move quickly from one place to another with commerce, transporting goods and services from one place to another. So they were very productive. It provided a strong economy for the people. Isaiah 18 begins with a command for swift messengers to go to a land of buzzing insect wings beyond the rivers of Cush, as we read in verse 1 and verse 2. Now, this land of Cush is more than 1,500 miles away from Judah, long ways away. And so you might be wondering, what in the world's that got to do with Judah if they're so far away? We might even think that today, thinking about nations that are so far away from the United States. What do they have to do with us? What do we need to be concerned about what's going on there? Well, this nation was 1,500 miles from Judah. These Cushite people had sent envoys, had sent groups of messengers before to Jerusalem to discuss an alliance. Isaiah pictures these Ethiopian envoys traveling by sea, maybe even up the Nile River, in search of these alliances. They're using boats made from the famous papyrus reed, and these envoys are running to and fro. They're going from one nation to another nation, to another nation, to another nation. It's like everything's whirling here, like that description of that insect trying to make alliances, because Ethiopia knows they're soon going to be facing the onrush of the Assyrian war machine. But notice God's message to those envoys. He says, go ahead and go, but then swiftly return to your own people. The implication is that you can go and talk to these other nations. You can go and keep swirling around like a bunch of busy whirling insects, he's saying, but you can go, but come back to your own nation, because all those alliances you're trying to make, they're not going to help anything. So they need to return home to take a stand with their own people when the coming judgment sweeps down upon their nation. It's possible that the Ethiopian envoys had visited Judah in the hope of securing an alliance with them. Judah's location would have certainly been a good advantage for them, providing a barrier between the Ethiopians and the Assyrians. If the envoys actually did reach Judah, it's possible that Isaiah is speaking this oracle to one of those envoys, or to some of those envoys who have come, speaking this prophecy to them. They would come by those lightweight boats and the Cushite messengers traveling swiftly, tall, smooth skin, striking, beautiful. The ancient historian Herodotus said this about the Cushites: they were the tallest and handsomest men in the whole world. Their average height of some of the Ethiopian tribes was 6 feet 4 inches, the tallest in the world. That's an average height. They have skin naturally free from hair, and they're feared far and wide as powerful warriors. But notice the judgment of Ethiopia in verse 3 through verse 6. He says, "All you inhabitants of the world, you who dwell on earth, when a signal is raised on the mountains, look. When a trumpet is blown, hear. For thus the Lord said to me, I will quietly look from my dwelling like clear heat in sunshine, like a cloud of dew in the heat of harvest. For before the harvest, when the blossom is over and the flower becomes a ripening grape, he cuts off the shoots with pruning hooks, and the spreading branches he lops off and clears away. They shall all of them be left to the birds of prey of the mountains and to the beasts of the earth, and the birds of prey will summer on them, and all the beasts of the earth will winter on them." So Isaiah, in those three verses, in verse 3 down through verse 6, is describing here the impending judgment of Ethiopia. He's also addressing, at the same time, the entire world, warning that people everywhere need to hear about this coming day of judgment. Because God had chosen Assyria to bring his judgment on all those nations. And Isaiah is predicting that everybody's going to know that judgment is at hand when the war banner is raised, when the trumpet is blown, as verse 3 says. In other words, when the Assyrians mobilize their army and begin to march, everybody's going to know. Everybody's going to know that the sinful, oppressive nations of the earth are about to feel the wrath of God's judgment. The judgment of Ethiopia occurred just as Isaiah said it would, just as it's going to occur in the future when God says his judgment is going to fall upon the earth and the entire world in the future. Isaiah said that during that judgment, the Lord is going to quietly watch from his dwelling place. Did you catch that, what he said there at the beginning of verse 4? I will quietly look from my dwelling like clear heat in sunshine. And so he's speaking there that he's going to be as patient and as persistent as the heat shimmering in the sunshine on the desert grounds there, the dew forming in the heat of harvest, but it's going to be felt as much as the heat of the sun that rises in the morning and melts that dew off in the harvest. That judgment, he's saying, is just around the corner. Then he gives that description of that spreading grapevine. That's the horrible Assyrian army that he's talking about there. That's the description he's giving of them. They're like a grapevine that's extending, growing everywhere, finding its vines going into every nation. He says the Assyrian Empire, they're about to be pruned. They're about to be judged so severely that nothing's going to be left but only what the mountain birds of prey can feed on. And so before the harvest, the Lord would cut off the Ethiopians like sprigs are cut off with pruning shears, verse 5 says. So many Ethiopians would be killed, so many of them would be killed, that the birds would feed on their corpses all summer. The wild animals would feed on them all winter, as verse 6 says. That most certainly refers to the slaughter that's going to happen to the Assyrians that we're going to read about later. That happens where 185,000 Assyrians are killed by the angel of the Lord outside the walls of Jerusalem. The whole world had been trembling in fear about the spreading power of Assyria. But one day, he's saying, you're going to be astonished at the power of God, that this tiny nation of Judah is going to be preserved. God is going to destroy this army, 185,000, in one night. And so we come to the third point, the promised salvation. The promised salvation in verse 7. So still, as with any generation, even as you're looking in the Old Testament here, you see God's judgment, but there's always hope. There's always God's mercy in the midst of his judgment. So verse 7 says, at that time, when all of that happens, when all of that destruction happens, when all of those are killed and they're left for the birds of the prey to feed on them in the summer, the wild beasts feeding on them in the winter, he says, at that time, tribute will be brought to the Lord of hosts from a people tall and smooth. So think about that, what he's saying there. He's saying tribute, resources, finances, revenue, money is going to be brought to the Lord of hosts from a people. Where's the Lord of hosts? Dwelling place in Jerusalem and Judah. They're going to bring tribute to Judah. These tall people, tall and smooth, from a people feared near and far, a nation mighty and conquering, whose land the rivers divide, to Mount Zion, which is Jerusalem, the place of the name of the Lord of hosts. So he's saying they could turn to the Lord of hosts. They will bring gifts. There will be those who will bring gifts and worship him. And so apparently Isaiah is predicting that some of the Ethiopians are going to turn to the Lord when the judgment comes. And so when news of Assyria's early conquests reached them, apparently some of these began to turn their thoughts to the Lord. They began to worship the Lord. They began to turn their thoughts. They were turned by Hezekiah. Hezekiah was one of the kings who loved God and worshiped God and his people. Remember, Hezekiah was a godly king. He ruled for almost 30 years, 2 Chronicles 29. During his reign, his testimony for the Lord was so strong that many nations, you read that in 2 Chronicles, many nations sent envoys to him seeking to learn the secret of his power with the Lord. 2 Chronicles 32, 23 says, "And many brought gifts to the Lord, to Jerusalem, and precious things to Hezekiah, king of Judah, so that he was exalted in the sight of all nations from that time onward." So beginning a fulfillment here of what Isaiah said would happen in verse 7. Now we don't know for sure if Ethiopia was one of those nations in that group in 2 Chronicles 32, but according to Isaiah's prediction, some Ethiopians are going to turn to the Lord. They are going to bring gifts to Mount Zion, which is Jerusalem, but those gifts are a type, a picture, if you will, of worldwide worship that that the ultimate king, Jesus Christ, is going to receive one day by every tribe, every language, every people, every nation. And this is a major theme in the book of Isaiah. God's awesome acts in history, centered around Judah and Israel, are meant to make his name great among the nations. See, understand, our goal as a church is not to make Highland Baptist's name known. Our goal is to make the name of Jesus Christ known. And that's what he's saying here for Judah and Israel, is to make the name of God known to the nations so that the nations will fear him and worship him eternally. You know, many prophecies tell of the people of Cush sending gifts of worship to God in Jerusalem. Psalm 68, verse 31. Psalm 68, verse 31 says this, "Nobles shall come from Egypt, Cush shall hasten to stretch out her hands to God." So the Ethiopians are going to hurry to stretch out their hands to God. Psalm 87, verse 4, "Among those who know me, I mention Rahab and Babylon, behold Philistia and Tyre with Cush." That's in Psalm 87, verse 4. In Zephaniah, which we've already studied before, Zephaniah chapter 3 and verse 9 through verse 10, it says, "For at that time I will change the speech of the peoples to a pure speech, that all of them may call upon the name of the Lord and serve him with one accord. For from beyond the rivers of Cush, my worshipers, the daughter of my dispersed ones, shall bring my offering." That's just a part of God's saving intention towards the people of Cush and towards the people from every nation on the earth. In Acts chapter 8, you see a partial fulfillment of this passage, of what he's saying here in verse 7. You see a partial fulfillment of that in the amazing account of the conversion. You remember Philip met a man, a eunuch. Where was he from? Ethiopia. An Ethiopian eunuch in the New Testament. And so, based on the prophecies of Isaiah, the Cushite man, the Ethiopian man that Philip ran into, was led to faith in Jesus Christ by his witness. He believed, he was baptized. If you remember, think about this. If you remember that Ethiopian eunuch was sitting in his chariot, he was reading a scroll. Do you remember the scroll he was reading? Isaiah. Isaiah. He may have come across this passage talking about his own people and wondering, what does this mean? This is talking about my people. I didn't even know my people were in the Bible, were in God's Word. And so here's Philip, who comes to him and begins to explain to him the Old Testament, the promised Messiah who was to come, explaining to him about Jesus Christ. And he believed, and he was baptized, and he goes back to Ethiopia. He goes back to Cush to spread the gospel to the nation of Ethiopia. Church history tells us that that was the beginning of the Coptic church. You ever hear the term the Coptic church? That's where it began, here in Ethiopia. And so in the future, a gift is going to be brought to the Lord of the armies from a people tall and smooth skinned. That gift will be eternal worship at the throne of Jesus Christ. So what do we learn? What do we learn for ourselves from the oracle or the burden to Cush? One of the things we learn is that even in the face of judgment, there is always hope for salvation. Remember that all the trials we face are not necessarily judgments from God. You know, sometimes we carelessly do things that cause sufferings, while other troubles are the natural results of living in a sinful, fallen world. In this corrupt world that we live in, we're subject to all kinds of accidents and diseases. But when we deliberately sin, God will judge us. He will discipline us in order to correct us, to keep us from harming ourselves, to keep us from hurting others. Because God loves us, He'll do all that He can to keep us from continuing in sin and darkness and shame. When we sin, we will suffer the result of it. We'll bear some trials. We'll all bear some trials. We'll all bear some pains. We'll all bear some sufferings. But in the midst of judgment, there is hope. Because while we're suffering the judgment of God, He'll deliver us if we'll just turn back to Him. So He's pronouncing judgment on Cush, on Ethiopia. But He's saying, if you'll just turn back to Me, and a group do turn back to Him. Scripture says if we'll judge ourselves now, we won't be judged in the end. If we'll confess our sins now, He'll forgive us and cleanse us of all of our unrighteousness. He'll accept us back into His favor, restore the joy of our salvation. He'll once again empower us to live fruitful, faithful, victorious lives, filling us with His presence, filling us with His strength. And He will enable us to overcome all the trials and the temptations that confront us. What a message to see how Isaiah 18 connects all the way to the New Testament, connects all the way to us, and even to eternity. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You so much. What a powerful scripture as we're going through the book of Isaiah that still has so much relevance for our lives today. Thank You, Lord, for this word that was given to the Cushites, to the Ethiopians. Lord, that even though You were bringing judgment upon them, You are making a way where there seemed to be no way, that there would be those who would turn to You. Lord, I pray that we as a nation, even though we continue to turn our backs upon You as a nation, Father, I pray that You will save us. Lord, I pray that You will rescue us, Lord. Lord, that You'll continue to send Your Spirit to stir the hearts of people across this nation. We see it happening from time to time, Lord. We see it happening on college campuses where athletes are sharing their testimony and people are becoming saved and baptized right there on college campuses. We're seeing a stirring of the Holy Spirit in many places around our nation. Lord, we pray that Your Spirit would be poured out upon the churches, Lord, that we would be where we need to be so that, Lord, we'll be the light we need to be in the communities where You have us. Father, may Your blessings be upon us in the days ahead. Lord, help us to know that even though there is judgment that is coming, Lord, there is hope and salvation in Jesus Christ if we'll just turn to You. Have Your way and Your will in our hearts and in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you so much for being here with us tonight there on our social media platforms. We'll be back Sunday morning, 9:15 for Sunday school, 10:30 for worship. Come and join us in person if you can. We've got a new members class that goes on every Sunday morning. It's a great class for you to get plugged into as you start to learn more about our church. You don't even have to become a member yet to be a part of that class. We encourage you to come just to find out more. But that's at 9:15, 10:30 for our worship service. We'll see you this coming Sunday. You have a blessed week and stay safe.